We pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. At the opening service last week, we considered as a theme, do you remember it? The Savior's growth plan for you and me, as revealed in Ephesians 4. Now, I must confess that as the preacher last Monday, I did not cover all the points of the text. It wouldn't be possible to do that without a regular length sermon of, say, 20 minutes. Afterwards, one of the visitors, one of your grandfathers, a grandfather of a student here, I should say, came up to me and pointed out a couple of very important things that did not get covered. He suggested to me that these would be good to bring up to this group. I completely agree. So today we return once more to Ephesians 4 and consider two other objectives in the Savior's growth plan for us, expressed especially in these verses 14 and 15. Paul writes that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. During your time at Emmanuel, especially when you're in high school, you students are rather sheltered, at least to a certain degree, from the influence of the ungodly world. Not completely, but bear in mind that we as faculty and staff work on behalf of your parents to keep at bay, as best we can, the wind of false teaching and the lies of Satan. In the classroom, for example, we filter out evolution, secular humanism, moral liberalism, and the other false views. We likewise filter out religious falsehoods, and there are many, which trouble churches in this city, such as decision theology, other types of work righteousness, millennialism, legalism, unionism, etc. While you are developing in your Christian maturity, we strive to keep these winds of false teaching and the other lies of Satan outside of here. That is, outside of what we preach and teach, what we say and do in His name at Emmanuel. The Apostle speaks about, and it's a figure of speech, children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. He's comparing the immature believer to a ship at sea during a storm. Well, right now, you students are more like ships tied to the dock in the shelter of a safe harbor, at least to a point. During the time of your Christian education, we are loading you up with food, water, a reliable map for the voyage, and when the wind and waves rise up, you do have, whether you realize it or not, the harbor of God's truth to keep you safe. Perhaps I've stretched the analogy a bit far. Please don't miss the point. The main point that you and I need Christian maturity spiritual growth in Christ as the sure way to deal with the ungodly world, its leader Satan, and his many, many traps. If we stay in the state of spiritual immaturity, then we act like spiritual toddlers who are so gullible. When temptations come, we like what they have to offer. When the scientist or expert sounds off contrary to Scripture, we, according to our flesh, think there's something to it. When popular people in this world espouse a secular philosophy of life, we, according to our flesh, like what is said. Recognize, folks, that the devil knows how to disguise the lie and bait the hook, and we, in a state of spiritual immaturity, are quite vulnerable. Thankfully, as part of his effective growth plan, the Savior has the right countermeasure. It's found in verse 15, speaking the truth in love. First, he speaks the truth to you and me in his word. Then he leads us to speak the same truth to each other. It's going to be the truth of law, then gospel, as the thing we use to handle the problem of our own sin, to recover from the fall into temptation, to gain reassurance in those nagging times of uncertainty, doubt, and fear. It is also the truth of all the Bible doctrines to be learned and then used as the way to recognize and refute, to repel all the lies that come our way. Now, when we speak this truth in love, let's understand whose love, where does the love start, where does it come from as the successful thing we need it to be? Not our love for each other, not our love for the Savior, but His love for us. In His supreme love, He bought us and brought us into His body. In that love, He has cared for, protected, nourished, helped us to grow as part of His body. In that same love, He equips you and me to help each other, to train, counsel, and encourage each other as fellow members in His body. On that love, you can always depend until He brings you to the state of fully mature, all grown up in Him. This ultimately happens when He brings you, me, and the rest of His body, the Holy Christian Church, into that safe harbor of heaven where wind and wave of any kind, devil and world, doubt, temptation, and so forth, will trouble you no more. We pray. Dear Savior, cause all of us to grow according to Your plan for us, in the truth of Your word to us, and by the power of Your steadfast love for us. Amen. Let us close singing hymn 292, stanzas 5, 6, 8, and 9. Stanzas 5, 6, 8, and 9 of hymn 292.